Well, good morning once again. Lovely to be with you. If you have a Bible or device handy, now would be a good time to open it up to Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to start reading at verse 16. Some very well-known words of Scripture, and John even used them last week in his message, which was fabulous. So reading from Matthew chapter 28, starting at verse 16. So after Jesus has resurrected and he's about to go back into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Amen. Let's pray together. Our Lord and our God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to gather together in freedom to praise your name, to declare your word. And Lord, we thank you that we are able to be here in person. Lord, we ask that as we explore your word this morning, that you would illuminate it for us afresh today. And Lord, that it would be living and active in our hearts and our minds and in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning's sermon is titled "The Art of Commissioning," because it seemed apt, because we commissioned our mainly music team this morning. So this morning's sermon is all about what it means to commission people, what it means to be commissioned. And I've called it the art of commissioning because we're going to look at that word as an acronym to help you remember. The passage that I read is known as the Great Commission. Oddly enough, the words "Great Commission" never appear in the Bible. There's no subheadings in the original translation of Scripture. In fact, historians generally believe that it was a nobleman by the name of Justinian von Welz, probably, who originally coined the term the Great Commission. And it was made famous by that prolific missionary to China, Hudson Taylor, who used this particular expression as the catch cry and the motivating force behind his very, very famous and very successful ministry into China. However, although they don't actually use the word commission in the New Testament as to describe this particular instruction from Jesus, nor do we tend to see the word commission appear in any other format, it is in fact all through the Bible. There are countless examples of commissions. Adam and Eve were commissioned to take care of the garden. Noah was commissioned to build an ark. Abraham was commissioned to leave his country and settle a new one. Joseph was commissioned to look over all of Israel. And that's just in Genesis. In Exodus, we have the commissioning of Moses, which we will look at in a little bit more detail. We have the commissioning of the judges to oversee Israel. We have the commissioning or the anointing of kings. We have the commissioning of the prophets. We have Jesus commissioning his apostles. Jesus himself was commissioned. And then, of course, it all comes to a massive climax that is continuing today with the Great Commission that we have been given as God's church. So the art of commissioning, the A-R-T of commissioning. If you've got your pens handy, this is what you need to write down. A-R-T stands for authority, resources, and task. Although different commissions may look different in different circumstances, those are three common elements that you will generally find in any commission that is given. Authority, resources, and a task. Think about what we've just done this morning with the commissioning of our mainly music team. They have been given authority from Brimbank Church of Christ to conduct the ministry, and they've also been given the authority of the mainly music brand. Now, I don't know how many of you were around when mainly music was first introduced at this church. I happened to go through an inception of it at my previous ministry place. Mainly Music is incredibly protective of their brand, incredibly protective. It takes a lot of work to be able to get a license to run a Mainly Music program, and it carries a lot of authority. The resources. Now, they weren't wearing their uniforms this morning, but they've got these fantastic polo shirts. They've also got the resources of the spaces that we have here for them to use in the facilities, and also a huge number of songs and various other resources that they can use to run the program. And the task that they've been given, this is the mission from the Mainly Music website, their task is to provide a time and place where young people and their carers can find delight in shared experiences through music and play, are accepted for who they are, and grow educationally. That is the task. They have authority, they have resources, and they have a task. You might think about a worldly example, say a royal commission. A royal commission is given the authority to subpoena witnesses and to compel evidence. They have the resources of finance. Or one thing I also found interesting, that almost every royal commission you see has its own glass backboard with the Australian coat of arms and the name of the commission. That's an interesting resource. Like, really want to have one of those behind me one day. That'd be awesome. Resources to, and the financing, the legal expertise, resources and the task. It's different depending on what they are specifically commissioned to do, whether it's to find evidence about this, to issue recommendations about that. But so they have authority, they get given resources, and they have a task. Another term of commission might be public artwork that we see around the place. A person is given authority to use a particular space. They're given resources in terms of the materials they use, remuneration for their time, and their task is to create a piece of public artwork that we can all enjoy, or maybe more, look at and go, we paid money for that? It takes a lot of skill to put together public art. Perhaps I'm being a bit too harsh on them, but yes. Public artwork, authority, resources, and a task. Then we have some biblical examples which I would like for us to explore today. They are Moses, Nehemiah, the 12, and then finally we will look at us. If you have your Bible and you're able to move across to Exodus chapter 3 and 4, there are a couple of verses in Exodus chapter 3 and 4 that explain the authority, the resources, and the task of Moses. Now, they're not always in that exact order, but if you look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 10, God is speaking from the burning bush to Moses, and he says, "Now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." His task was to free God's people, to bring them out of Egypt, to issue his famous line that we like to say, "Let my people go." That was the task he was given. Now, he was given a lot of resources. If you read the argy-bargy between Moses and God throughout Exodus chapter 3 and 4, you get a very, very clear picture that Moses didn't really want to do it, and that God wasn't going to take no for an answer. He offered him an abundance of resources. He had the resources of the kingdom of heaven at his disposal. He had the signs and wonders that God will perform among him. In Exodus chapter 3:20, it says, "I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them." He had the resources of signs and wonders, and he also had the resource of his brother who would speak to the people for him, which it says in Exodus chapter 4, verses 16 and 18. So he had resources. He had Aaron, he had the kingdom of heaven, he had signs and wonders. And the authority he had the authority of God himself. A famous line from this particular section of Scripture, Exodus 3:14, when God tells Moses who he is, and he says, "I am who I am. Tell the people that I am has sent me to you." He went with God's own authority, the authority of I am. He had all of the resources of heaven and the signs and wonders and his brother Aaron to help him, and his task was to free God's people. He was commissioned to do so. If you flip through your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah chapter 2, and Nehemiah had a task of rebuilding Jerusalem's walls. In fact, he asked the king of the Persian Empire in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 5, he asked to be sent to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild it. That was his task, to rebuild Jerusalem. He wasn't left alone to do this. He was given the resources. He asked the king for letters. "If it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governors of the Trans-Euphrates so that they may provide me safe conduct, and may I also have a letter to Asaph, keeper of the royal park, so he will give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel by the temple for the city wall and for the residents I will occupy. He asked for letters from the king of Persia, the highest authority on earth at the time. That was the authority that he went with. So he had the authority of the king, he had the king's orders for resources, and he had the task of rebuilding Jerusalem. That was his commission. And we know that he did very well amongst a lot of opposition. If you read the rest of the book of Nehemiah, it's an excellent story. I can hear some pens frantically moving, so I'll waffle ever so slightly to allow you to get those notes down before we turn over into the New Testament to Luke chapter 9. This is when Jesus is sending out the 12. And if you follow the story of Scripture, Luke chapter 9 is Jesus sending out his 12. Then Luke chapter 10 is him sending out the 72. And then, of course, we know at the end of the gospel, he sends everyone, you and me included. But initially, his commission to the 12. The authority that he gave them is found in Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Jesus gave them power and authority to drive out demons and to cure diseases. He gave them that authority over the supernatural world. He gave them resources in the form of the people of peace in the towns that he was about to enter. Now, we see this more in Luke chapter 10 than in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 10 gives a bit more in-depth information because he was speaking to more people and giving more specific instructions. But in Luke chapter 9, verse 4, it simply says, "Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town." By "stay there until you leave that town," he's meaning live with those people. Let those people put a roof over your head, put food in your mouth, and let them give you a place to stay as a base of operations while you're in that town. Those were the resources that they were given because they were told, don't take any extra money, don't take any extra things, you won't need it. I have provided the resources you will need through these people. So we have the authority to drive out demons and cure diseases. They have the resources of a place to stay for their base of operations. And their task in Luke chapter 9 verse 2, he sent them out, proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Their task was to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Authority, resources, and a task. That is the art of commissioning. So now we turn to the Great Commission, the one that affects us. From the scripture reading this morning in Matthew chapter 28, we too have been given authority, we have been given resources, and we have been given a task. Now, our authority comes from Jesus himself. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, he says, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go." Now, it is an incomplete reading of this particular text to suggest that when Jesus said, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go," was simply his way of saying, "Because I said so." There is much more to it than that. He had the authority to say, "Go because I said so," but he is doing so much more with this statement. He is saying, "All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me, and I am going to entrust that to you." So when we go out into the world, we are going with all authority on heaven, in heaven and on earth, because Jesus has entrusted it to us. Some of the clues of that can be found in other things that he said before he left. He said in John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, that when he goes, greater things would be done. You would be doing even greater things than what I have done. You are going to get the authority that I've got to go. He is handing that over. The sky is the limit, quite literally. All authority in heaven and on earth, the sky is the limit to the authority that we carry with us to proclaim the gospel in this world. The resources. There is a really beautiful line in Luke's gospel, in Luke chapter 24, verse 49. It's the parallel passage to the Matthew one where Jesus says, "Remain in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." The resources we are given is to be clothed with power from on high. In other words, we have all of the resources of the kingdom of heaven at our disposal. Scripture also says, in Luke chapter 12, verse 12, that whenever we are worried, whenever we are taken and forced to give an account for what we believe, the Holy Spirit will give us the words to say at the right time. We are always going to have the resources that we need to do the things that God is calling us to do. We have authority, all authority in heaven and earth, and we have the resources of the kingdom of heaven behind us. And then we have a task. The task is to make disciples, to baptize, and to teach people to obey. Now, there are many, many different definitions of the word disciple or discipleship out there, and everyone has their own unique one, and I'm not going to be anything different. I'm going to give you one too. The way I like to think of discipleship is apprentice or mentor. Our task is to apprentice people in the ways of God, the ways of Jesus, to mentor someone. The idea of discipleship as being a structured, codified system of teaching is an incomplete idea of discipleship. Discipleship is about coming alongside a person. How I would describe discipleship is this, and this is what you can write down in your notes, is that our commission is to do this. It is to teach a person to live their life the way Jesus lived his life, and then in brackets, and I don't know if you can get the inflection in the voice here, which is how you should be living your life. Our commission is to teach a person how to live their life the way that Jesus lived his life, which is how you should be living your life. One last time. Our commission is to teach a person how to live their life the way that Jesus lived his life, which is how you should be living your life. Jesus was the ultimate example. We imitate him. We strive to follow his example, and we apprentice and mentor other people to follow that example too. We are a commissioned people. We have been given authority. We have been given resources, and we have been given a task. Where we might run into trouble is where we sometimes have excuses that might get in the way. And unfortunately, the art of commissioning means that we really don't have any excuse that could possibly stand up. Some people might say that, oh, well, I'm too scared, or it's too difficult, or I don't have the time, or that's not something that I'm able to do, or that's better for someone else to do, and I'm not really equipped in this way, or that's just it's just a bit beyond me, and I don't know, and I'm not sure I could really do that in this world. I am here to tell you that that is male bovine excrement. We must have encouragement instead of excuses. Just to put a little bit of the fear of God quite literally into you. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 14, the Lord's patience with Moses finally cracked. Moses put up yet another excuse, and it says in Exodus 4, verse 14, that the Lord's anger burned against Moses. The Lord's anger burned against Moses. Now, as God's church and as Christians and God's people, we should quite rightly talk often and always, in fact, about just how much God loves us, just how much his extravagant and abundant love covers us in everything that we do. However, that does not mean that he is not capable of getting angry at us. That does not mean that we are not capable of, I'd use colourful language there, irking him somewhat. The Lord's anger burned against Moses because Moses was putting up excuse after excuse. We should have no excuses, but rather we should be encouraged. Maybe there's a common excuse that you're too scared to make disciples. Scripture says 365 times, once for every day of the year, that you do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. There is no excuse for fear. Perhaps it's too hard. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 tells us to lean not on our own understanding. And Luke chapter 12, verse 12 tells you, you will be given the words to say by the Holy Spirit. The idea that this is too hard does not stack up when you have the resources of the kingdom of heaven, all of the resources of the kingdom of heaven at your disposal. There is nothing too hard for that. And perhaps it might be that you just don't have the time. Well, in a previous sermon that I've spoken about on this particular passage, I've made reference to the fact that the word go is actually supposed to be translated as you go. In other words, as you go about your business. It's not supposed to be about setting aside a particular period of time and this is the time where I'm going to work on the Great Commission. The Great Commission is during all time. Everything that you do, the Great Commission is meant to be a priority for you because you were given the authority of Jesus. all authority in heaven and on earth. The sky's the limit. You were given the resources of the kingdom of heaven, which nothing can stand in the way of. And you were given this task. And the task is to make it a priority. So we should never say that we're too scared with the authority that we carry. We should never say that it's too hard with the resources that we have access to. And we should never say that we don't have the time, when Jesus himself made it his last instruction to us, and it is meant to be a priority. Just want to close on two words of encouragement. One from my favorite, one of my favorite verses in Scripture, which was also mentioned last week. It's from Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. I love this one. It's like, "Have I not commanded thee?" And I'm reading from the King James Version, because I love the way it sounds. "Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." The Lord your God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. If someone can use the word "whithersoever thou goest" in a sentence this week, I'll be very proud of you. Love it. Be encouraged by that. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, because God is with you. And then Jesus himself said, before he went back into heaven, his last words were this: "I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Amen. Let's pray together. Our Lord and our God, we thank you so much that you trust us with this task. And Lord, we give you thanks and praise that you have given us so much authority to carry into this world, and that we have access to unimaginable resources beyond our comprehension to accomplish this task. Lord, we pray that we wouldn't be a people that relies on ourselves and our own strength, but Lord, rather we would be a people that relies on you. And Lord, that we would take this task as our priority into everything that we do. Lord, we pray for this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.